It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of the Drive. It's Fan Run Radio on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. And we start the Top 4 at 4 this afternoon. Here's Marcus Young.
Thank you, Russell. Number one, the ACC announced it's going to drop their divisions from football scheduling starting in 2023. In 2023, the 14 teams will compete in a single division, and the top two teams will meet in the ACC title game. They are going to go with the three permanent rivals and five opponents that will alternate year to year.
So it's an eight-game schedule? Conference schedule?
Yeah. That's what it says. The format's going to be a 3-5-5 is what they're calling it. So three permanent rivals, 5 1 year, and then 5 new ones another year. And according to this, they've already got some of their permanent rivals set up.
Does that have to do with the if they want to do the alliance or whatever they were calling it with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to kind of...
Well, here's the statement from the ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. He said, the future ACC football scheduling model provides significant enhancements for our schools and conference, with the most important being our student-athletes have the opportunity to play every school, both home and away, over a four-year period.
You know who won the permanent opponent thing, the ACC? Duke. Their three permanent opponents are North Carolina, NC State, and Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, like, all three of those teams are pretty good right now, but historically, like, they're dodging. They don't, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, who you would probably all rather play this year, but than those three. I don't know. Maybe they didn't win it. North Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, those are all three teams that are projected top 25 teams this year.
And it's all that North Carolina rivalry.
Maybe I'm arguing with myself.
Maybe so.
Miami has Boston College, Florida State, and Louisville. And besides really Florida State, which
I mean, that might work out
for Miami
pretty good. I mean, yeah. all three of those teams, Scott Satterfield to me seems far from entrenched at Louisville.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, obviously FSU is a train wreck, and Boston College has been, I mean, my goodness, are they even fielding a team this year?
FSU is a train wreck?
Huh?
Have you not noticed?
With Leonard down there?
Leonard?
What?
Never mind.
Are we in a different
sport? How are you talking?
Are
about?
You in a different
totally
sport?
Different sport? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
All right. Moving along.
Well, I was going to say real quick before I move to the second one, the cool thing is we're going to get to see pretty quickly what that kind of format's going to look like, because I know the SEC has been considering it too. So we'll have a guinea pig in the ACC to figure it out. Number two, the Atlanta Braves' Kenley Jansen is being put on the IL with an irregular heartbeat. The team announced today that he will be on a 15-day injured list. Because of this, he went under a corrective heart surgery, his second procedure back in 2018, after a recurrence of an irregular heartbeat prompted him to be admitted into Denver Hospital. Excuse me. So, seems that the issues that he's been dealing with at age 34, he is still slightly dealing with them again.
The Braves are all of a sudden, got Albies out, Acuna's banged up, Jansen's on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like they're so close to, and they're only four or five games back behind the Mets. They're playing pretty well, but they just can't get healthy.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is. Number three, looks like, as we were mentioned at the first hour, Freddie Freeman is changing his agents after being angry about how free agency has gone. According to someone with ESPN, Freeman previously told friends he was angry with how his free agency negotiations played out. Last weekend in Atlanta, it was an emotional time for him and his family, and feels like he needs to fix his agent situation.
But he's already signed a long-term deal.
Send
the Braves are entrenched with Matt Olson. I mean, they're not going to go back. This is like, you know, getting in an unhappy marriage and then firing the matchmaker after you've already done your nuptials.
Strange decision.
I mean, it just seems spiteful at this point.
Yeah.
It's probably the last big contract of his career at 32 years of age, and a what, a five-year deal? I mean, he,
6 year.
Yeah, he
$162 million.
You know, he might play till 40, but I don't know. I would be interested to know what his long-term vision here, because it sounds like maybe that's he wants to get out of L.A.
And finally,
just
number
reading into it.
Finally, number four, the three-point guards that have been having a little bit of question marks to their future seems to have been decided, as Russell Westbrook is planning to exercise his $47.1 million option to return to the Lakers. John Wall is planning to sign with the Clippers once he's cleared waivers. And Kyrie Irving, surprising the Nets themselves, is opting into his $37 million player option with the team. The Nets found out, apparently, along with everyone else. They had no idea Irving was planning on opting back in with Brooklyn.
A really stable guy.
Yeah.
That's who you want.
So it seems like the Lakers might be stuck with Westbrook unless they can trade him, and similar with Irving. So
the Lakers and Nets are both
stuck.
Stuck with their high-priced diva point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And John Wall is going to go to L.A. and join the Clippers alongside Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And John Wall's not a half-bad NBA point guard, so it should be interesting to see how that goes.
Man, he's got to be getting up there now, isn't he? He's
Was it
09 his year at
Kentucky?
Kentucky. So
him and Cousins.
He's probably 32, 33, something like that, which is for an NBA point guard that goes as hard as he does.
He is 31.
Yeah, I saw his picture. In one of the articles about him going to the Clippers. Damn, John Wall's getting old.
He's all grown up now. Thank you, Marcus. This is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Linderman Sports Medicine, the Fan Run Radio live stream sponsor. Shout out to those of you listening to fanrunradio.com. Wherever you are, you visit Linderman Sports Medicine, find out why people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life with Linderman Sports Medicine. Coming up, we're going to visit with Ben Joyce, the volunteer fireman, is getting ready for the Major League Baseball draft, expected to go in the first three rounds at some point, and he certainly has a bright pro future. We will talk with him about it coming up here in about 12 minutes right here on Fan Run Radio. In the meantime, if you want to jump in, 865-546-8200 is our number. Let's grab a call from Rusty. Good afternoon, Rusty. You're on the drive.
What up?
What's up, Rusty?
Same old man. So I called because I want to talk a little bit about scheduling after the whole Texas-Oklahoma merger. But, oh, I had some questions about that. But I wanted to understand. I caught the tail end. I'm driving around. I caught the tail end of the whole, I guess, the question of the day with, but I didn't get exactly what you were saying. Was it 100 pitches make contact one time?
Yeah,
type deal? What was it again?
100 pitches from Ben Joyce could me or any other average Joe put a ball in play. 100 pitches, and he's not throwing you sliders and off speed pitch. Like, he's just throwing you 100 fastballs, grooving them down the middle. Yeah,
Trying to throw it down the pipe, and I'm guaranteed it's never going to, like, come high and tight, but he's never going to, like, slip. They're all going to be down the middle, and it's all going to be 100 to 103, 4, 5, right?
Yes, very hypothetical.
Okay, that hypothetical, I think all of us would put one or two in play if we had 100 pitches in a row, because eventually you time that up if you're a halfway decent, can get off your couch person. 100 at-bats in a row, where you got three strikes or four balls, he's going to strike us out every time. 1,000 times in a row, he's going to strike us out every time. But if you just give 100 straight pitches where he has to throw fastballs every time, you're eventually going to hit a dribbler that gets to the pitcher's mound or to second base.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, 100 at bats.
Oh, you're screwed.
Well,
he's
going to
throw
getting,
sliders. And you're gonna go,
oh. Yeah, but you're also getting 300 pitches. At least,
yeah, but
right?
I guess I should have said that. You're not getting 300 pitches in a row. If you took like a week to get 100 at bats off of him, or maybe a month to get 100 bats off of him, you're never gonna put one in play again, and he's gonna strike you out every time unless you're a very, very high level baseball player.
I think
like
I could get one, Rusty. Think I could get one.
You can't. No, but if you have 7, 8, 9, 10 pitches, and one of them's going to be in play, you might foul a few off. But when he's got the ability to throw his slider and a couple other things at you, and you don't know if one's going to catch you in the forehead if you lean over and play too much.
That's my bigger concern.
He's going to strike us all out.
That's my bigger concern is, you know, dying.
Right. Right. Exactly. And those are the variables. If you're if it's like pitching machine throwing 105 and your guarantee is down the pipe, that's different than him throwing off speed and the risk of a ball getting away from his from him and getting you in the head or the ribs. Just the ribs alone.
Oh. Yeah, at least I'm wearing a helmet. Just go ahead and put one off my dome and put it in the ribs. Yeah. That's going to hurt for weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think – I want to say it was Titty that threw 98 and caught the batter in the bill of the helmet. I would rather have that than the ribs any day at 98.
I'm not wanting to get hit in the head with anything going 98, helmet or no helmet.
No, not flush in the head, but that one where it just clipped the bill – it probably scared him more than it hurt because it just knocked the helmet off by clipping the bill. Man.
He said.
Sometimes I would hit like lower back ribs area, like turning into the pitch. And that's just kidney punch from Mike Tyson. Brutal.
Ugh. Joyce said the pitch early in the season, one of his first appearances, the pitch that hit the umpire in the mask caused that umpire, and I think he finished the game, but he had a concussion for 3 days afterwards.
Oh. We should do that more. We should teach our pitchers to let the ball get.
You saved that for Macias.
Yep. Call the high fastball. Just let it go across the top of your mitt. Dip your head to the right. Let it catch the umpire in the throat or the forehead. Oh, that's a great idea.
Just wanted to rattle his cage a little.
Yeah. Just make sure he maybe straightens that strike zone up a little bit. So, the real reason I called him, the question I was going to ask is. I was talking to a buddy who's on another radio show off the air, and neither one of us had an answer. But we were beating around the ideas of when we go to 16 teams, the idea of the pods seemed great because you could make a pod system that would mean that whoever the four teams in a pod were together, they play the exact same opponents every year. During that year, then you rotate next year, but it's always – teams in your pod, and then you play one other pod, and you get the exact same opponent. So it's all Georgia plays. If Georgia's in a pod with Florida, they play the same exact schedule. But now they're talking. But apparently, that's been thrown out by the SEC. And I didn't know if you guys knew any details on the SEC is basically saying they're just going to go to a no division period. We just make schedules for everybody, and the two teams with the best record at the end of the year are going to play in the SEC championship game. Whoever finishes first and second, kind of like it was back before we divided into divisions, except there was just a champion. There was no championship game, but basically schedules weren't even, and we just decided the champion. And now they're going to say schedules aren't even, but the two teams with the best record are going to go to Atlanta. Is there any bonus for that, and is there any reasoning behind that is being talked about as what we're
Well, there's no perfect way to do it. I mean, with 16 teams in the league, you're always going to have inequitable schedules. And
I disagree because I have a theory on that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have 1 year where, you know, Tennessee, maybe you make it and you are playing, you know, Alabama has a down year, whatever, like the year Saban and you just have an easier road to hoe. Look, it's the SEC. It's probably always going to be difficult. But I don't see any way you can make these schedules equitable. You certainly can't have it to where they play the same teams. I mean, even in the pod system, that was going to be an issue, which is probably why they're not doing it.
The pod system I'm saying is everybody. There's four different pods of four teams. You play the other three teams in your pod. Mm-hmm. So that's equal right there. And then you play one other pod, which is four more games. That gets you to seven. And at the end of the year, your eighth game is if you finish first in your pod – You don't play that cross pod again that you've already played, but one of the other two pods that you did not play in those teams, the one from your division plays the one from that division, the two plays the two, the three plays the three, the plays four. So the last game of the season is decided on where you finish up. You get eight games, and so the two versus two and the three versus three and the four versus four is just an extra game. The ones versus one, which there would be two of those games, a north versus east and a south versus west or whatever you want to call it. And then the winners of those go play in the championship game. You get eight games, Everybody in your pod plays the same schedule, and then you have a bonus game at the end of the year against another pod team based on where you finished in your pod.
So you're only going 8-game conference schedule?
Yeah, but and you rotated every year, so every third year you played everybody in the conference. So you don't have 6-7 years where we don't play Texas A&M.
Yeah, but you're still going to have years where, you know, just it's cyclical. Teams go up, teams go down, and you're going to have years where one pod just has a much easier road to go than other pods. And there's no way to get around that. I mean, that's just how it's going to be, 16 teams.
I guess what I'm saying is, though, Georgia, the teams in the pod, you play the same thing. And if you finish first in your pod, you beat the teams in your pod, and they play the same schedule as you. Then you get a chance to play them from another side, and you can beat them, even if they –
So yeah, but you got four pods. You only have two teams in a championship game.
Right. I think you missed the part about the 8th game of the year being from one of the other pods, and that game's a playoff game too, technically. You have four pod winners.
I'd have to I'd have to have this written down in front of me to really analyze it, but it's not. I mean, it's not going to happen, Rusty. They're not doing the pods thing.
No, it's not.
They pretty much said that. So.
What's going to happen is one year we're going to go 9-0 because we played Missouri, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Texas, and I'm going to love it. So.
Hey, that's any means necessary, as long as they get there. Rusty, we got to run, man. Great to hear from you.
Later, buddy.
Stay with us. We pause for the cause. Would we continue? Bid Joyce, former Farragut, now former Tennessee baseball pitcher, is going to join us to talk about his Tennessee career and look ahead towards his professional baseball future. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. All right, welcome back. It's The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Marcus cruising along with you here, a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. We're pleased to be joined now by Ben Joyce, the Farragut Admiral, Tennessee Volunteer, and who knows where he's going to end up at the next level. We'll talk to him about it. Ben, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, yeah, thanks for joining us. And, you know, I know that the season did not end the way you or any of your teammates expected it to. Have you had a chance to sort of – have you put it behind you yet, Ben? I know that was incredibly disappointing way to end the year for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, that was tough. It was a tough couple days, especially kind of right after meeting as a team for the last time and knowing that was going to be the last time we'd be all together in the same place. It was tough, and I mean, it's probably something I'll never forget. It's kind of another one of those chips on the shoulder that you can use to motivate you in the future and not really want to feel like that again. So, I mean, it's probably something I'll never forget, and this season was really special with all these guys. So, I wouldn't say I'm over it, but I definitely say it's kind of getting to be in the rearview mirror.
Ben, were you or any of your teammates that you talked to able to watch the College World Series? Because just us here, and maybe we're just petty here, my crew here at the station, but I flip it on, and I'm watching that Ole Miss team that won it, and I'm thinking about the way you guys absolutely dominated them on their home field. Are you able to watch any of that, or is it just frustrating to you as well?
No, I mean, it's definitely frustrating. I really didn't watch much of it, and I don't think many people on the team did either. It's one of those things where, I mean, you just got to get hot and stay hot at the right time, and they were hot at the end of the season and played great. So, I mean, congrats to them. It was an awesome and a crazy season. It's just kind of what they went through. But, yeah, it was definitely tough to watch, and I really tried to avoid it a little bit, to be honest.
I feel you, man. I feel you. Now, you guys had so much fun, and it was such a big story. You know, you personally throwing as hard as you did, the team as successful as they were, the coaches, the personality that everybody showed. You know, there's always some weird, like, controversy of somebody getting thrown out or some incident with a fan or something during these games. There's always some storyline going on. And then when you guys lose, all the haters – come out of the woodwork, right? All the social media folks and the pundits on TV, oh, they got what they deserved, all that stuff. Did you listen to any of that, or did you just, you knew it was coming and it's like, all right, I'm not going to check my phone this afternoon?
No, yeah, I mean, to be honest, we kind of knew it would come, and And if we lost the game, we knew there'd be a lot of backlash about just kind of, I mean, we were just out there having fun every day, and we really enjoyed playing with each other every day, and we just kind of expressed it in a different way than a lot of other teams, and we knew there'd be some backlash, but it was just kind of our team identity and just something we did just because we were going out there and enjoying the game, and we really kind of stayed away from all the hate on social media. It's just kind of one of those things that's going to happen either way, so it wasn't something we paid too much attention to.
When you look back at the season, you know, not to dwell on the negative, what's the high point? Is it winning that SEC tournament down there in Hoover, or were there other moments along the way that stand out to you as your favorite memories of the 2022 season?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it was just kind of the whole season was something I'll never forget, but that SEC tournament was awesome. I mean, we had some games get rained out, playing really late at night, and just kind of sitting in the hotel, getting close to the guys, and then when we finally got to play, it was almost like we were just kind of unleashing all that built up adrenaline and everything. So that was a super cool experience. I don't think I'll forget that. Friday night at Ole Miss stuck out to me. Lane Kiffin throwing out the first pitch, that was a pretty pretty funny thing. Yeah, I mean, just kind of the whole year. I don't think I'll forget this year. And just the fans were amazing. Every game, it was. I mean, we'd have midweek sold out. It's something I'll never forget for sure.
The fans at Lindsey Nelson were amazing. And then, you know, you mentioned Kiffin and that atmosphere at Ole Miss. You guys got to play at Mississippi State, which has one of the best stadiums in the country. What was your favorite place to visit this year, Ben?
Yeah, I loved Ole Miss. I love Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State probably would be my favorite. During BP, they were giving me steak in the outfield. That was pretty cool, getting some snacks from them before the game. And their fans were awesome. They gave us huge things of food after the game. And I think other than that, probably Houston playing in the Astros Stadium was pretty special.
Talking with Ben Joyce this afternoon on The Drive. And, you know, Ben, now as you look forward ahead to the task at hand, and obviously you were a huge story just in college baseball and kind of came out of nowhere, man. I mean, you come out of the bullpen throwing over 100 miles an hour. You had the 105 pitch and everything, and that gets a lot of attention now that the season's over. Kind of take us through what you're doing right now in terms of just preparing for the next level.
Yeah, right now for me, it's really just training and trying to get my body in as best shape as I can and try to maybe make some gains strength-wise, mobility-wise, and maybe even see a couple more notches in those miles per hour. We'll see. But I'm training at Tennessee, just getting ready. I just got back from the draft combine in San Diego, which was a really cool experience. But other than that, yeah, I'm just kind of trying to train and get in as good a shape as I can and see what happens next.
So they have a combine for baseball. I did not know that. Just like basketball and football, are you going out there and kind of letting the scouts and doctors, I imagine they want to talk about your surgery and all that stuff and just kind of letting the teams get to know you. Is that pretty much what it was?
Yeah, for me, it was really the medical part was the big thing I was out there to do. A lot of MRIs and x-rays, and then kind of talking about the past medical history, like the Tommy John surgery. Just kind of trying to get everything squared away with that. And then I got the chance to meet with most of the teams out there. So that's kind of what it was, the MLB draft combine's like, just kind of getting your face out there and trying to meet some of the teams and get closer with them.
Is that kind of a, wow, this just got real moment when these guys are asking you about, you know, all sorts of personal stuff, right? And you kind of realize that, hey, if they're going to pay me to play baseball, they feel like they have a right to know all this stuff. They want to know exactly what they're getting. Is that kind of a, man, this is going from just a game to a business moment for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely – I mean, it makes sense. They're making an investment on you and your future. So, I mean, it makes sense they need to know all that stuff about you. But it is kind of crazy. Just I mean, especially the path I've gone through to get here. Kind of like, wow, this could be my future, and it's really getting serious now.
I imagine it'll be nice to be able to get paid to play in addition to just getting paid by Craven Wings. Get all the wings you can eat, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll be – Craven Wings is awesome, but it'll be pretty cool to get paid to play baseball.
Good stuff. Ben Joyce with us this afternoon. Ben, you have a brother that is going to be coming back, and a twin brother. Does he look just like you? Is it going to be like a Ben Joyce clone out there that Tennessee fans see next season?
Oh, yeah. We're identical twins. We slowly started to look a little different. He's got a little longer hair and maybe a couple different facial features, but it's going to – I mean, if you're far away, you're going to think it's me out there, I would think. We're pretty identical.
Is he another flamethrower?
Yeah, he's been getting up there. I think he's been up mid-90s right now and maybe touching a little higher than that. So he's coming back really well, and, I mean, I'm super excited for him. I think it's going to be awesome for him to get back out there and throw.
All right, we'll have to take him out there to Craven Wings and see if we can keep that tradition going next year.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'll definitely try to reach out for that. We need to keep that thing going.
Ben, when you look back on your time here in Knoxville, and I remember when we did that Craven Wings commercial, you were telling me you look at Tony Vitello as almost a teammate more than a coach. Talk a little bit about, you know, his personality in the program, and, you know, obviously this thing has turned around. You're from Farragut, so you remember what the program was at Tennessee before Coach Vitello got there. It was not a program that had any sort of national clout. Now all of a sudden, it's one of the very top programs in all of college baseball. How has Coach Vitello managed to create that in just 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really boils down to just his competitive nature. He's one of the most competitive and fiery people I've ever met. And I mean, he's always has amazing energy and just getting us all into everything. Every day in practice is fun. And it's a culture that you want to get into and become a part of, especially when you're seeing it from the outside. At junior college, I was looking where I wanted to go. And once I met the coaching staff, and I mean, being from Knoxville, I've been a huge Tennessee fan, but I've seen the ups and downs of kind of the past decade or two. And I mean, just how he's changed the culture here and made it a place that recruits are going to want to come and know they're going to have a great time and be coached by the best coaches and just always go out there and compete and be themselves. I think it's kind of really changed how the Tennessee baseball program is viewed.
Well, we know Coach Vitello's a fiery guy. We've seen that on multiple occasions. One thing I think Tennessee fans learned this season, Ben, is that your pitching coach, Frank Anderson, is just as, if not more fiery than Coach Vitello. Tell us a little bit about him. Obviously, he's another, particularly for the pitchers, you know, a drawing point for players who want to come and learn under him.
Yeah, I really think he's the best out there. And I mean, getting to know him, he's almost like a second dad to me now, going through the whole Tommy John process. He was there every step of the way. And I mean, he's just one of those guys that he'll have everyone on the team's back, and he'll tell you that, and he'll show it too. I mean, you saw him get ejected a few times, and that's just him having everyone on the team's back and putting their best interests forward. And I mean, he'll like I said, he'll literally do anything for anyone on the team. And I mean, it was awesome to get coached by him and try to pick his brain as much as I could, because I think he's seriously one of the best out there.
Yeah, you mentioned the Tommy John thing and what a difficult process that is for any pitcher to go through and to rehab from. And I'm just curious, Ben, like in this day and age of pitch counts and, you know, managers very rarely let a guy throw a complete game and you want to take care and manage a guy's arm and everything. Like, what do you get rest? Or are you still throwing hard? Like, how do you make sure that you don't overdo it with your arm during the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, I think I've built my body up to a place where I can really go pretty hard for most of the year. Even in the offseason, I'm really still trying to throw hard and feel how it feels to throw hard with my body and just continue to adapt to that. And I think that's going to help me in the future just kind of stay healthy through the longer season in pro ball. And, yeah, I mean – weight lifting, I take that super seriously. That's something I'll even continue to do in season. But right now, I'm really getting after it and just trying to get as strong as I can and as fast as I can and just continue to throw it as hard as I can.
So are you planning on when you get drafted, and obviously there's business, you know, you'll have an agent that'll negotiate a contract and whatever, but are you planning on jumping in and pitching for whoever drafts you as quickly as you can get all those details worked out, like, I would, you know, next month or August, whenever that happens?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm ready to go. I feel great. I think the whole Tommy John rehab process really kind of helped me get my routine set, and just my body feels better than it ever has with the work I put in over those couple months. And I think I'm ready to go kind of whenever my name's called. So, yeah, I'm ready to go right in there and pitch.
You know, you hear that about the guys who have Tommy John so often, they come back throwing maybe even a little bit harder than they did before. And I've heard you talk about, you know, the rehab process and how intense and grueling that is. And do you look back on that, the injury that precipitated that surgery, Ben, as almost a blessing for what it turned you into?
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of had a super, super strong work ethic, but that kind of really changed things for me and how I viewed my work that I put into baseball. It really made me put more effort into the recovery and the mobility and everything that's going to keep me healthy for a long time. And I think those couple months where I really couldn't do anything, it didn't seem like a blessing, but I mean, I went as hard as I could in the weight room and did all the recovery things I could do and really got my routine set and figured out what I need to do to make my body feel the best it can feel. And I think that's going to end up being a blessing for the future. And even right now, I'm kind of starting to see the benefits of that. I mean, my body feels better than it's ever felt, and my arm feels amazing as well.
You know, Ben, talking about coaches and guys getting thrown out of college baseball games, I got to ask, how much are you looking forward to not having to deal with college umpires anymore and having professional umpires with consistent strike zones? That's got to be something that's exciting for you.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Honestly, I'd say the umpires are a little better than maybe you would see to the blind eye. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to kind of see what that difference is like and just get used to the major league zone. And yeah, we'll see what the difference is like.
And maybe it's just me. Hey, I'm just some guy. You tell me if I'm wrong. But I've been watching a lot of Major League Ball here since y'all's season ended. And it just seems to me, maybe it's because they got the strike zone right there superimposed on the screen when you're watching, you know. But it just seems like, man, these guys are actually pretty good. They very rarely miss in the big leagues. And I don't know, it seemed to me that the strike zone was a little bit all over the place, depending on who the umpire was in the college game.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to watch the major league games with the strike zone on there and just kind of see how good they are, even with those balls, like one ball off the plate, they're calling it a ball. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to kind of see what that difference is like in person.
All right, Ben, last thing, we'll let you out of here. Just talking about the Tennessee program, and obviously your brother's going to be on the team next year, so, and you'll have a lot of friends, and I'm sure you're going to be following it. What do you think? I mean, they lose some – you know, you and some really good hitters, but those three starting pitchers are back. A couple of key pieces in the bullpen are back. You're bringing in some great transfers. I'm sure you're aware of some of the recruiting that Coach Vitello is going on. Just what are your thoughts on the future of Tennessee baseball?
Yeah, I think they're building a dynasty over there. And, I mean, the coaching staff, the culture they've set up there, I think it really allows people to come in and work through the fall and into the spring, and you're going to be prepared for the season no matter what your ranking was in high school or what your recruiting class was like. I think they're set up to prepare anyone who's on that team to compete and win games in the SEC. And, I mean, I'm super excited to see how it goes. I got a lot of close friends, obviously, that will still be there, so I'm going to be following around. My brother's going to be there, so I think it's going to be exciting to watch kind of how they turn the page from this year into next year. And I mean, Coach V says it, every team kind of has its own flavor, its own identity, and we'll see what next year's identity is like. But I know they're going to compete and they're going to win games.
You got some key guys to replace there. Do you think they retire the daddy hat and the fur coat and come up with something new, or is that a tradition that is just part of Tennessee baseball now?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it might be a tradition. I think we really – the fans embraced it. We embraced it. And, I mean, maybe just keep it, but maybe wash it. It's kind of getting a little dirty. So,
be honest, Ben. Is there a part of you is jealous as a pitcher? You never got to put that thing on, or maybe did you sneak in the dugout before or after a game when nobody's around and just kind of try it on, see how it feels?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I've tried that coat on a few times.
Okay.
Kind of see how it feels, but yeah, it was. maybe we should have done something for the pitchers. I was a little jealous kind of watching them put that coat on all the time.
You have like a strike out the side moment, and maybe somebody throws you a special item of clothing or something to wear?
Yeah, maybe next year they need to do that. I need to tell Zach to get on that.
We'll workshop that. Maybe you can have Justin from Craven Wings with a basket of wings there waiting on you as you come off the field, the smoking hot wings. That'd be good.
Hey, that'd be perfect.
All right, we'll come up with some ideas. Ben, really enjoyed it, man. Great catching up with you. Best of luck as you prepare for your professional future. I know a lot of Tennessee fans, Farragut fans, just Knoxvillians will be watching your career very closely moving forward. Best of luck to you, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. It was awesome.
Yep. We'll do it again sometime.
All right.
Ben Joyce joining us there. That was good, man. I like it. I like it. He's excited. You could tell, man. It's a special time in your life going out there to San Diego and the combine and just working out, ready to become a professional baseball player.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really sink in. So once he gets drafted, I want to make sure this is what you were asking him. Say he gets drafted, like we could see him pitch in the majors this fall.
Well, that's what Crochet, like he pitched in for the White Sox at the end of that year. Was that 20? It was 2020, right? It was the COVID year. Like he got it.
Do you have to have
because there was no minor league ball that year, but so that was a little bit different. But that happens. It's rare, but you know the college players typically move through the minor league system faster than high school prospects.
Yeah, they're already fully developed.
I mean, the dude throws 105 miles an hour. Like, I would imagine you draft him if you have a need in the bullpen. Hey, there's whoever drafts him. I know he's got things to work on and whatever, as all pitchers do, but you got a guy that throws 105 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Whoever drafts him, the GM.
The owner's going to want to see his.
The owner, the manager at the big league level is going to be, hey, that dude we drafted who throws like 105.
I mean, if I got
a look at him.
Yeah. I mean, if I somehow ended up with a Ferrari tonight, I would drive it immediately. Probably over to your house.
No, you're just like in the garage and kind of look at it, walk around. And like, oh, man, that's a nice-looking Ferrari.
No.
You would want to take it out and take it for a spin. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Go pick you up. Like, look at this.
Hey, man.
Go 180 miles an hour.
Pelsippi, here, traffic dies down here in an hour or two. Go out there. You know.
Take a turn. Yes. You know, he's going to give us a Ferrari.
No, I mean, that's what
that's basically what it'd say. It'd be like buying a Lamborghini or Ferrari and not just keeping it in the garage. Yeah.
That's got to be wild, man, to be able to throw a baseball that hard.
Yeah, just any of that stuff or, you know, like run that fast.
Is that the equivalent of being a sub 4.3 guy?
Yeah.
So only a handful of dudes in football are like sub 4.3 in the 40-yard dash.
Yeah, being able to run that fast.
What are there, maybe five guys in the NFL who are legit sub 4.3?
Maybe, if that many.
Yeah, there have been like once every 5 years at the NFL Combine, a guy goes sub 4.3.
Yeah.
I think Chris Johnson did it for the Titans. Was it Ross? John Ross or something like that? He's with the Cardinals now or the Browns, something like that.
I don't know where he is now.
Was our buddy a sub 3 guy?
Who?
Terry
Fair?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I mean, he's fast.
I don't think Tennessee. Maybe Leonard Scott. I don't know if they ran the 40 back when Willie Gault was doing his thing. Maybe Leonard Scott was.
Willie Gault was he was a world class sprinter. I mean, probably would have won a gold medal if we hadn't. He got screwed out of when we boycotted the 1980 Olympics in Moscow.
I wonder, would Richmond Flowers have been that guy? Let's see. Leonard Scott, according to Wikipedia, ran the 50 meters in 5.58 seconds, so I don't know what that translates to. The metric system baffles me.
The metric system does.
Every much as the standard measurement system, I'm sure, baffles Europeans. Like, I just meter, kilometer, like it just – So weird.
Well, the 100 meters.
Strange to me. I can picture that. I can picture 100 meters.
100 meter, 220, 440. You got the 110 high hurdles. Getting dangerously close into an Olympic conversation, Russ.
Yeah, let's go ahead and break it down here for a second. Stay with us. The drive continues. Open up the phone lines if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200, your number to hop on board. 546-8200. The drive continues. Back with more after this. Fastest 40-yard dash times per NFL.com.
Is this just for football players? Is this like anybody?
Yeah, for guys in the NFL at the combine. Electronically timed, not wind-dated 40-yard dashes on a football field. John Ross has the fastest of all time, 4.22. CJ2K was 4.24 back in... Well, it doesn't have a year there, but whenever that was, 07, something like that. Dree Archer of Kent State ran a 4.26.
Dree? D-R-E-E?
D-R-I. Jerome Mathis out of Hampton, who played for the Texans, ran a 4.26. Marquise Goodwin, 4.27.
Where was he out of?
Texas. Stanford Rout of Houston, corner, 4.27. Tyrone Calico, I'd forgotten that he ran a 4.27. That didn't work out.
Tyrone Calico?
What was his deal? He got, like, something about – there was something – he got busted in a car in downtown Nashville doing something he shouldn't have been doing.
Tyrone Calico.
And I don't want to say what I think it was. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to slander the poor guy. But, yeah, he's one of the infamous Titans' first-round wide receiver busts. Jalen Myrick of Minnesota, 4.28. J.J. Nelson out of UAB ran a 4.28. Jacoby Ford out of Clemson ran a 4.28. And Fabian Washington, quarterback out of Nebraska, ran a 4.29. So that is very, very rare. And all those happened, like, within the last 20 years. So that's – once every 2 or 3 years, you'll see a guy run a sub 4.3 40-yard dash. And that's, in my opinion, the equivalent. And maybe that's not even – because we just read off a list of 11 guys that did that made sub 4.3. There are two guys that we know of in the world right now throwing 105. And we just talked to one of them.
Yeah. The other one's a...
So that's an even more exclusive
insane
club.
Cuban guy, Aroldis Chapman.
What is the most exclusive club? You get the, is there a vertical jump that's, like, unbreakable? You just don't see those numbers the way you do the 40-yard dash or mile-per-hour pitch.
Like the 100 meters.
Pitch speeds. Yeah, 100 meters.
I mean, Usain Bolt. Yeah, sub 10 seconds. Fastest man alive. Yeah.
Sub 10 seconds is usually, but there's always, like, isn't there, it's like wind dated. Is anybody, there's always some weird caveat in track. You always got to.
You talk about wind dated all you want to. Usain Bolt was just, he's fast. Well,
he would
hold
pull
up
and, like, look back at you and kind of glide a little bit. It's like, dude, like, go all out. Like, yeah, see how fast he could go.
Yeah.
Set this record. And he's like,
set it at 7.5. He could fly.
Think he was on the roids?
I don't know.
Just assume all those track and field guys were.
I don't know. I just always assumed he was kind of like just an anomaly physically. Like, kind of like Michael Phelps was just.
Yeah.
Born to be really good at swimming.
But it can be both, right? You can be an anomaly and doing stuff.
Nobody ever even raised anything about that with him. He just had that really long stride, and he was just fast. I don't know. Can steroids make you faster? I know they can make you bigger and stronger, but
oh, sure.
I think you can. They can.
Yeah, I mean, you get your glutes and your hammies get bigger and stronger. It's going to push you and propel you faster. I mean, look at that dude, Ben Johnson at the 88 Olympics in Seoul.
Yeah, I was waiting for them to. He looked like his eyes looked messed up, all bloodshot. Like even his eyeballs were ripped. He lasted, what, that gold medal stayed his for about, what, 5 minutes?
It was a glorious day or two. Everybody was talking
was
about
sweating out
Ben
pure
Johnson
Russian,
1988.
That was wild watching that one.
The 700 home run club, that's pretty exclusive. But, oh, I mean, yeah. that's one that's kind of,
well, I mean,
I
there's
tainted.
There's a bunch of Hank Aaron's records that'll never be broken. I mean, just
A-Rod was four away, man. 696.
Yeah.
That's almost worth coming back for one more season just to see if you could get four home runs.
Oh. Yeah, but I still consider
that?
Hank Aaron the home run king.
Wait, wasn't there a movie, a Bernie Mac movie, where the guy, he was like the home run leader, or it was Mr. 3000, right? He had 3,000 hits, and then they went back and found out there was a discrepancy, and he only had like 2,000, and he had to come back as an old man
was
just
Bernie
to try
Mac
to get his record. Yeah.
Love Bernie Mac. That's his soul.
We don't have any goofy sports movie. What was the last really goofy sports movie that came? Remember like Joanna Man, Air Bud, Mr. 3000, Mr. Baseball, like all those great movies in the 90s, early 2000s.
Major League.
Why don't we have just goofy-ass sports movies anymore that are just – why don't we have any funny movies? When was the last funny movie that came out?
Now, I did see a funny preview for – it's a spinoff because I didn't like the original show. It's called Letterkenny. It shows dumb.
Yeah.
But the spinoff, Shorzy, some character – he's one of the main writers for Letterkenny.
Yeah.
This hockey show that they're getting ready to put out looks hysterical.
Yeah. It's Letterkenny's a great show on its own, and there's a side character named
Shorzy.
That sounds like such a Marcus show.
Oh, it is.
But I think Russ would like the Shorzy guy because he's like the ultimate smack talker.
Yes, and they're doing a spinoff show for just him, and I've seen clips of it. It looks like it's a really good show.
Talking those Canadian accents. Oh yeah, yeah.
Have you ever heard of the show Kenny versus Spinny? You remember that, Marcus?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, you would love this show, Bear. Kenny is these two idiots, like these just two complete buffoons, like real-life Beavis and Buttheads.
Okay.
And they every show was a contest. It's like a 30-minute episode. And so they would, like, one of the shows was like, who can stay awake the longest? And these two morons are just like, you know, they try to screw each other over and stuff.
Who could stay awake the longest?
Yeah, like, who could stand up the longest? I'm looking at it now. Like the whole show is just who could. It's a contest. Who could stand up the longest? Who's the better chef? Who could sit on a cow the longest? Who can earn the most money in 3 days?
I mean, it sounds like me and you if we actually followed through on our challenges.
Yeah, it's just complete moronic stuff. Who can stay blindfolded the longest? This is a TV show. They put this. It was like on Comedy Central at like 10:30 at night for a while.
Why not just, I mean.
Who do kids like the most?
That's a good one.
Who's the best male stripper? And there's these two idiots. Just doing all these.
Have you watched the new Beavis and Butthead movie yet?
No. I mean, is it free? Can I watch it somewhere?
I think it's on Prime. It's on Prime.
You're going to ask me this every day until I. Who can drink more beer? That was a.
You drink me under the table. I haven't had a drink in so long. I don't know.
I don't know about beer, but certain alcohol, I'm sure I could make it past you fellas.
You think you could outdrink me, Russ?
I mean, I'm not a big drink. I mean, anymore.
I weigh a lot more than you do, is why I thought I might have it.
I have two or three beers. I'm shutting it down, man. I'm shutting it down. Somebody's breaking out, but like I might have a glass of bourbon if like people are doing that thing.
Did you hear that, Marcus? I might have a glass of bourbon.
No, like have you not been around? Like people are like, hey, you want some? I'll do that, but I don't have it at my house like myself.
Oh,
Is that bougie? Like to do it, to drink a glass of bourbon? Is that
no? I just it sounded shocked. like a lot. Hey, give me a tumbler full of bourbon.
No, I'm not booze guy. But if it was a contest and there was something in it, yeah, I'd drink you under the table. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Hour number three coming up. The Drive.